Scroll down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about what I believe to be an imperative, important subject or issue today. We're talking about the Islamic jihadist, socialist, Marxist, communist, Democrat that was just elected mayor in New York City, Zohran Mandami, and he's made some statements that are pretty profound and yet pretty real when you analyze Islam in general. I've got a book in my hand called Is Islam Tolerant? It's about 25 chapters, about 350 pages. I had the privilege of publishing this book back in 2011. It's the result of about 3,000 hours of research on the subject of Islam, studying out of what is called the Hadith, the nine volumes of the musings and sayings of Muhammad. And the book was born out of the study and research of the Noble Quran, the only Quran that the Islamics use as far as the Islamic scholars are concerned. And they have two jihads. One is an open battle and war jihad. The other is a jihad by incremental taking over of the governmental system in any nation. And I commend the book to you. It's called Is Islam Tolerant? You can go to conservative.edu, scroll down to the bookstore, and purchase the book. I'd highly recommend it be in your library so that you know what has taken place, what is taking place, and what God's Word says is going to be the end result. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got our telephone lines full. We're going to take a couple of callers, and then I've got an audio clip from a senator out of Alabama, Senator Tommy Tuberville. We'll listen to what he says in just a few moments. First of all, let me go to our line with Bob. Bob's on the line. Go ahead with a question, a comment, please.
Hey, preacher, 3,000 hours? What is that, about 100 years?
It seemed that way when I was going through it.
Yeah. Anyway, my question was, even before your guest brought the subject up, was that the UN is in New York, and I have a lot of reasons for believing this, but my question is, and I was going to ask this before he even brought it up, do you think that New York City could be Mystery Babylon?
The apex of what we call Mystery Babylon, in fact, Babylon is fallen, is spoken of in Revelation chapter 14, fully developed in Revelation chapter 18, and I believe without any question, the financial system that we have in America today is the Babylonian system. It is the Babylonian financial system, as it is referred to and called in the biblical text. And do I believe that somehow, some way, New York City will be the headquarters of that? Absolutely. It is the global headquarters, as it seems. Today, this is the reason the Islamics have tried to destroy New York for years. 1993, when they attempted to blow the Twin Towers up from a basement bomb, and the blind sheikh that was heading that up, leading it out in 1993, is seen in pictures with the Islamic jihadist that's now the mayor of New York. He was one of his key supporters that rallied the Islamic community in New York to vote for him. But, Bob, I reckon if I can jump to another little tidbit, I think the most baffling thing to me is that about 100,000 Jewish people, Jewish citizens in New York City, voted for this Islamic Jewish hater called Mohammed Mamdani. I believe that it is ironic to see that the Jewish people in New York voted for him, overwhelmingly so. I don't understand it. I don't understand their thought process with the very man that would like to destroy them. He is an anti-Semite. He hates anything that's called Israel, hates anything that's called Jewish people, yet at the same time they voted for him. So, Bob, the only answer that I have, because I'm in a state of consternation, as perhaps you can hear in the sound of my voice, because of what is taking place, because I believe that we can see where America is headed and how God will judge our nation because we have embraced Islam on a wholehearted basis. We've embraced socialism, we've embraced communism, we've embraced everything that's antithetical to biblical Christianity and that which God would have us to do and be as a nation. So what can we expect except God's judgment? Bob, thank you so much for your call. God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe Brother Davis Harper is on the line. Go over to question or comment, please.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Gilmore. And if I can just may enhance just a little bit what you spoke about a couple of days ago whenever I was listening to the broadcast. A few days or weeks or so ago, I put out a little thing about America under judgment. Okay, you referred to something about an apple in a barrel of apples. The big apple is rotten.
You got it.
That's good. It is already affecting and has been affecting other apples when we see two states that just elected their governor just the same as New York did. We've asked for this judgment because we have stood still and not spoke up so much time as a Christian and as God-fearing people.
Well, Brother Davis, if I can add to what you just said, I believe we can look at the big picture as what's happening in America, morally, ethically, theologically, doctrinally, biblically, et cetera, and see the plummet, the fall, and the decline. And I blame it on the pastors in the pulpits in the United States of America. Spineless, weak, inept preaching that has devolved into the position that citizens are embracing anything that looks like hope. It's like being out in the ocean and you're drowning. If there's just a cork in the water, you'll grab for it to try to keep from drowning. And that's the mindset that it's brought Americans to, and they're grasping at socialism, communism, and the Islamic dictatorship mindset, thinking that somehow, some way, we've got to swim and we can't swim, therefore we've got to be bailed out. And the bailout is taking place on a wholesale basis by our government system that's had so many people on the dole rather than working that there's now a dependence on government and not a dependence on God. I believe you're exactly right with what we're seeing. And it demands our prayer, our insight and recognition, and it demands, listen, I may be, some might get a little uptight with this. I believe it demands Christians, if you're saved, to go into a church, and if your pastor's preaching dribble and not willing to stand on the issues and talk about the issues and what the Bible says, what God says we need to do, and go back to expository preaching, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, what does the Word of God say? I believe God's going to hold America to the feet to the fire, if you please, and the judgment. I believe it's time Christians say to their churches, their pastors, if you're not going to preach the word, I'm going to find a church that does. And I'm not saying that self-ingratiating. I'm saying that because I believe that's what's needed if we're going to see any possibility of America being delivered from the jaws of God's judgment on a more rapid basis.
Amen that 300%, and if they don't like it, they can look both of us up, and we'll talk to them face-to-face.
Amen, brother. Thank you so much, and God bless you. I believe we have Derby on the line. Derby, go over with your question or comment, please.
A comment. I love that I want to say, but I'll just say one thing. Concerning Democrats, we should stop calling them Democrats. It is the Communist Party.
Yes, absolutely.
In socialism, don't say socialist, say communist.
Yes.
We have to speak plain English. Call a spade a spade. So whenever we refer to the other party other than Republican, we should say, and the Communist Party, which is the Democrats. Stop using the word Democrats. They are not American. They are anti-American. They are anti-Christian.
Absolutely. In fact, Derby, I don't know if our listeners know, I touched on it recently, though. It is the Communist Party USA that was one of the promulgators, the major pusher and part of the financing of Zohan Mandami's campaign for mayor in New York. So what can we expect? That's exactly what we see taking place. And that's the reason I use the term Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party, because that's exactly what it is. Some say they're socialists. Some say they are just the progressives. Others in the Democratic Party now openly admit that they are socialists, which socialism is communism light. It's just getting to the edge where you're willing to say, I'm a communist. They're saying I'm a socialist. And I was surprised to hear the numbers on the data today that 80% of the Democratic Party say that they are socialist and that they want a socialist America.
We could also add the Communist Islamic Party.
Absolutely.
So they're promoting Islam. So they're definitely the enemy within.
Absolutely.
Democrats, communists, and Islamists, so we want them out.
Absolutely,
and
brother.
Immigration, don't allow any more immigrants. The H-1B visas, just we have enough people unemployed in the U.S. Don't bring anybody else.
Absolutely. Derby, I'm going to cut you a little short because we got about a 15-minute clip from Senator Tommy Tuberville out of Alabama, and he speaks the truth, and he's telling us what he's wanting to get done by way of legislation. So, Derby, thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, tune in for the next several minutes and listen to Senator Tommy Tuberville, the senator out of Alabama. He speaks about the need to introduce legislation to prevent Islamic Sharia law in the United States of America.
President, I come to the floor today to talk about two bills I recently introduced to shut down Sharia law in this country. I ruffled some feathers a few weeks ago when I came to the Senate floor to talk about what I believe is the greatest national security threat facing the United States of America: radical Islam and Sharia law. The Democrats and the mainstream media, they've been coming after me ever since I started talking about this subject. But after spending 40 years coaching, I don't really care what people think about me. I love this country, and I want to save this country for our kids and our grandkids. You know, I was back in Alabama this weekend, and I heard from countless Alabamans who told me they are 100% behind what I'm talking about. At the end of the day, I work for the great people of Alabama and the great people of this country, not the pearl-clutching media that is out there hammering me every day. Speaking of Alabama, I'm proud that the Yellowhammer State banned Sharia law a long time ago. For too long, people have been afraid to call out radical Islam for what it is. Because if you dare to speak out, the left will come after you, your family, your reputation, and your job. They'll try to ruin your life just because they disagree with you. That's how they play the game. One of the radical left's go-to tactics is to accuse anyone who disagrees with them as being a racist, a bigot, or intolerant. They've tried that with me, calling me an Islamophobe for calling out the evils of Islam. But there's only one problem with that strategy. One, radical Islam isn't a race, it's an ideology. It's a choice. And I would argue it is a cult. So no, I'm not an Islamophobe. If you want to peacefully practice your religion, that's fine with me. That's what our Constitution gives you the right to do. Our Constitution gives you that right, and that's why we have millions of Christians, Jews, Mormons, Hindus, Buddhists, and peaceful Muslims who worship freely in this great country of ours called the United States of America. But if you come here, you are expected to assimilate to our country and our values. I recently saw a stat that absolutely shocked me. We have 42 million people in this country that are on food stamps. 42 million. You would think these people are just Americans who have fallen on hard times, which is who the program is for. But a disproportionate amount of these 42 million people are immigrants. 45% of Afghanistani immigrants are on food stamps. 42 of the Somalian immigrants are on food stamps. And 59% of all illegal aliens are collecting food stamps. 59%. So clearly, these people are not coming here and assimilating in our America way of life by working hard and taking care of your family. What an idea. They are coming here to mooch off the American taxpayer. It's wrong, and we need to call it out. But beyond the taxpayer concerns, this religion is also fundamentally incompatible with our Western values. So wake up, America. The Quran instructs Islamists to fight Jews and Christians, along with anyone else who doesn't believe in Allah. Simply put, radical Islam teaches that it is righteous to kill Christians. It's righteous. There's no peaceful coexistence with this type of people. None. Just look at the Middle East and North Africa, where Christians and Jews are being slaughtered by the thousand. Where's our media? Where are they at? More than 7,000 Christians have been slaughtered by radical Muslims in Nigeria so far this year. 7,000. That's 35 people that have been killed every day this year. Where's the mainstream media? How come they're not talking about that? Radical Islam demands complete obedience, complete, 100%, and will kill you if you dare to speak out against their beliefs and ideologies. This isn't anything new. Muslims have been fighting to wipe out Christians and Jews for centuries. But now the problem isn't just confined to faraway Middle East. It's happening right here in our backyard in 50 states. We're already seeing cities in Michigan, Minnesota, being taken over by Sharia law. In Dearborn, Michigan, a Christian pastor recently protested a street was named after a radical Islamist terrorist. The pastor just complained about it. In response, the Muslim mayor of Dearborn told the pastor that he is no longer welcome in the town and will celebrate the day that he leaves. Think about that. A Christian pastor is being silenced here in America for objecting to a taxpayer-funded road being named after a terrorist. We're losing it. Or take what has been happening in Minneapolis, Minnesota, which has been and seen a massive influx of Somalians moving into their neighborhood. I recently saw a story that absolutely shocked me. More than 75 Somalians have been arrested in a massive scheme where they stole $300 million from American taxpayer-funded child nutrition program. $300 million. So these Somalian criminals came to Minneapolis. They took advantage of our free schools and our free health care, and then they stole $300 million from American taxpayers right under our noses. Where is the media? Where's the outrage? And where did this money go? Where do you think it went? You guess it. It went back to Somalia. It's disgusting, and these people should be deported, if not jail for life. In case you're still unclear about the dangers we're facing, here are a few reasons why Sharia law does not work in a Western society like the United States. In America, we value free speech. The U.S. Constitution gives us that right. The First Amendment is what makes this country, America, great. You're allowed to express your opinions publicly without fear of the government arresting you or killing you. But under Sharia law, any criticism that goes against what Muhammad or the Quran says can be punishable by death. Further, under the U.S. Constitution, and the First Amendment. Equal rights for people of all faiths are protected. Western culture treats everyone equal, regardless of their religious beliefs. Under Sharia law, if you are not a Muslim, you are treated as the enemy. Radical Islam says you can discriminate against and even be violent towards non-Muslims. We see that happening now in Europe, where non-Muslims are being violently attacked every day, all over Europe. It's because Sharia law not only accepts but encourages this type of disgusting behavior. Another major difference between Islam and our Western culture is the way we treat women. In the U.S., marriage happens when a man and woman mutually decide that they want to get married and be with each other. But under Sharia law, older men are allowed to marry six-year-old girls, which is unbelievable. 6 years old. That's not marriage. In America, we call that pedophilia. But that's just scraping the surface. In Sharia law, women are sold, raped, trafficked. No problem to them. That's their way of life. Women are not allowed to get an education or have a job. They aren't even allowed to leave home without a man escorting them. And women are forced to wear burqas, which cover basically everything but their eyes. Meanwhile, men are allowed to have multiple wives, marry children, and do not have to cover their heads. It makes your blood boil. Not to mention the horrible way that minorities are treated in countries that follow Sharia law. There's no tolerance in these countries. If you live in a country that practices Sharia law and are not Muslim, you're lucky if you aren't thrown in jail or killed. That's because Islam and Sharia law teach that you must hate non-Muslims and should wage jihad, which literally means holy war against people who do not believe. One thing I find particularly ironic is how the left turns a blind eye to the horrible ways LGBT people are treated in countries that follow Sharia law. In countries like Iran, Saudi Arabia, and Yemen, gay people are often given the death penalty. Does that sound like a peaceful, tolerant religion to you? Not me. Unfortunately, this poisonous religion, which I think is closer to a cult, is rapidly growing in this country. Wake up, America. Look no farther than New York, where a radical Islamist, Zohan Mamdani, is the front runner to become the next mayor. Mamdani has tried everything he can do to hide his radical Islamic beliefs ever since he started campaigning. But he was recently seen in a photo with the co-conspirator of the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. Think about that. And they're getting ready to elect him mayor. The leading candidate for mayor of New York City is cozying up with an openly jihadist terrorist sympathizer. Where are we going? In New York, if New Yorkers are stupid enough to elect a radical Islamist as their mayor, then they deserve what they get next, and it is coming. I truly believe we're at the crossroads of this country. The time for political correctness is over. That's why I've introduced two bills in the Senate to end Sharia law in this country. End it. The first one is No Sharia Act, which makes it illegal to practice Sharia law when it conflicts with our Constitution. As I've repeatedly said, the radical Islam cult is the opposite of everything, I mean everything, that we stand for in America. The second bill I introduce, the Preserving a Sharia Law or Sharia Free America Act, prevents all foreign nationals who advocate for Sharia law from entering this country. No more. If you want to practice that, stay where you're at or go to one of the other 50 countries that practices this. The Trump administration banned people from nearly 50 Muslim countries during the first administration. And thanks to Joe Biden's 4 years of open borders, we now have thousands, I mean thousands, of terrorists and their sympathizers who entered our country unchecked. How stupid was that? We have to shut off the spigot before it's too late. This is a major national security threat. Radical Islamists have proven over and over again that they are willing to do whatever it takes to kill just one American citizen. And it didn't just happen overseas. It has been allowed to fester and is alive and well in our very own country, just waiting for the right opportunity to attack. So now is the time to act, because if we don't, we're going to lose this country as we know it. Open your eyes, America. The values of this country was built on cannot coexist with radical Islam. It doesn't work. It's one, our Constitution, or the other. You can't mix them. This isn't a Republican or Democrat issue. This is an American issue. Just look at Europe. We are headed down the same dark path as what Europe's going through now if we don't wake up. We need to permanently shut down Sharia law in this country before it's too late. Wake up, America. Mr. President, I yield the floor.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted that you tuned in today and that you had the privilege of hearing that. Let me just read you a clip, just a brief portion of an article that someone posted on Facebook. What's happening in America right now should send chills down the spine of every American Jew, every American freedom-loving person in the West. New York City has just fallen, and all one has to do is see the future of New York as it looks to London. Socialist and Islamic candidate Zohan Mandami, a representative of the Democratic Socialist Party, just won big in New York. Two extremes, the Islamic Socialist left and the anti-Semitic far right, both growing stronger, both united by the following hatred of Jews and the hatred of America. The ideological wall has once protected freedom and decency in the United States has just collapsed. Ladies and gentlemen, what do we do? How should we respond as Christians? We need to recognize, number one, God is still on the throne. He's not abandoned us. Secondly, we must focus on God and not on government. And third, we need to pray and seek God's face, asking God to heal our nation. And it's only God that can do that. Ladies and gentlemen, third or fourth thing that we need to do is be faithful in your local New Testament church of the preaching and the teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Christian teaching and talk. This is